Madame, io non lo so perché te fai la cara. Madame, io non lo so perché te fai la cara. Che mi dimostri tutto, che mi dimostri tutto scorrucciata. Che mi dimostri tutto, che mi dimostri tutto scorrucciata. Perché se sei così ingrata, se sai perché sei sincera.
I'm a big fan of this painting, and one of the reasons is because it's a strange subject. It's a surprising subject, and in some ways, a picture that the public might find difficult to look at carefully. It's not a common subject, and probably a little bit difficult to decipher. On the other hand, it may tell us more about the Italian Renaissance and some of the issues of that time than many other paintings in the gallery. The painting represents Saint Apollonia, who was a very popular saint in the 15th century, destroying a pagan idol. And it's painted by Giovanni d'Alamagna. Alamagna is actually the Italian word for Germany. So John of Germany was the painter, but he actually is known to be active largely in Venice, where he was the brother-in-law of a well-known Venetian painter named Antonio Vivarini. And he worked in Venice mostly in the 1440s. It is part of an altarpiece. It belongs to an altarpiece. And there are three other panels of the same size and dimensions that tell other aspects of the story of Saint Apollonia that go with it. So the painting tells a wonderful story. Saint Apollonia was an ancient princess, the daughter of the Emperor Eusebius, and she is shown, finely dressed as an aristocratic woman, climbing a ladder with a hammer in her hand, a kind of mallet in her hand, and clearly she's on a mission. She climbs the ladder because she intends to destroy the ancient statue at the top of the pedestal because it is a pagan idol. So Apollonia was a Christian princess and her goal was to destroy false idols. And that's fundamentally the narrative of the painting. But what starts to make it interesting in the context of its time is that the painting is actually full of bits of ancient culture because at this moment in the 40s, Venice, Florence, and other parts of Italy were beginning to become completely enamored of ancient art. So the painting shows in the architecture all kinds of ancient motifs, from the swag motifs here. The pedestal is a sort of fantasia based on ancient themes. The details of the architecture, the archway, the entablatures, various other individual pieces of the vocabulary are all inspired by ancient architecture. So although Apollonia sets out to destroy an ancient statue, she's doing it in a context of almost sort of archaeologically careful reconstruction of what her own environment might be. On the one hand, that reflects a new kind of embrace of ancient culture and ancient values and ancient visual culture in particular. On the other hand, it tells a story where she's setting out to destroy an aspect of ancient culture. So there is clearly a tension here, and in a sense, what to my mind makes the picture very, very interesting is that that's a tension that continued throughout the Renaissance. Contemporaries of Giovanni d'Alamagna, like Jacopo Bellini and Pisanello, were going to Rome, were studying ancient art, were making copies of sculpture, of architectural details, of the fragments of ancient culture that survived in a way that was more systematic and focused than it had ever been before. So clearly, this picture and all the architectural details benefits from that kind of knowledge and that kind of study. At the same time, the story is a story that focuses on ancient sculpture, which represented the mythological gods, such as probably Apollo in this picture, who were viewed, of course, as false gods. And so Saint Apollonia sets out to destroy them. But of course, at the same time in Venice, artists were actually embracing sculpture in particular, and sculptural motifs in particular, as new models for representing the human figure. So they saw a use in these, in ancient art, that Christians were actually extremely ambivalent about. One of the consequences of this development is that the nude itself became a more important subject, and that nudity was represented in a more aesthetically refined way, more naturalistically, more idealized in the sense of trying to make the figures ever more beautiful and even kind of sensual and appealing, and in that sense, capturing a kind of ancient ideal. But of course, that made images of Christian subjects like as Christ and some of the saints actually more alluring, and in a sense, potentially ambiguous to a viewer. So it's interesting to look at this painting in the context of Domenico Veneziano's St. John the Baptist in the Wilderness, a Florentine painting from around the same time, the 1440s, which is a fragment of a larger altarpiece. What's interesting about it is this actually shows the figure of John the Baptist nude, again, in a Christian theme, the point being that St. John the Baptist was willing to give up his material goods to pursue his faith. Interestingly, that figure of John the Baptist shows the beginnings of a kind of contrapposta based on antique examples, so that in fact, although it's in a way a quite beautiful and naturalistically represented John the Baptist, it is imbued very subtly with the kind of the values of ancient sculpture. That's actually quite a good example of how the artists began to incorporate in ancient sculpture as sources into their work, even for extremely pious subjects. Another interesting example from the 16th century is the wonderful painting by Bacchiacca of the Flagellation of Christ. The tormentors of Christ are actually shown nearly or completely nude, and they're shown in a way that you see them from the front and the back and the side as if they were one figure. And this was for the artist a wonderful opportunity for him to show how he had mastered the body from all possible angles. So in a certain way, it was a kind of artistic or aesthetic exercise to represent beautiful bodies. On the other hand, it may seem odd to the viewer today, and it probably seemed odd to some viewers then that the figures were so nearly naked as they were. One of the important things to keep in mind about the development of the nude in this context is that it did primarily grow up out of a kind of humanist interest in antiquity, with the rediscovery of classical culture more broadly, as well as classical art. And it led, first and foremost, to the creation of wonderful secular themes based on ancient subjects and classical subjects. For example, the gallery owns a wonderful bronze from Padua from the 1520s of Hercules wrestling with Antaeus, which became one of the great subjects of Italian Renaissance art, which showed two classical figures wrestling in the nude. And the challenge to the artist was to represent the difficult activity of wrestling, to represent figures in motion, to represent beautiful figures, and to represent fully nude figures. So first and foremost, classical art was studied to create, in a sense, a kind of new form of classical art. But because the body became so much the center of artistic study in Italy at this time, it inevitably informed every aspect of art that was being created, and especially Christian art, because at the end of the day, there was far more Christian art being created than secular or classical themes. In the Middle Ages, the body of Christ and the body of the saints was an important subject, but never before had it been represented so naturalistically. And then starting after 1500, not only naturalistically, but heroically, in the sense that the artist did start to look at the most beautiful examples of ancient art. And so the specific question that I've been concerned with is, how did people deal with this? How did people deal with art that was meant to be pious, but at the same time became more sensual and more immediate in ways that may or may not convey a spiritual meaning?
Sei così grata, se sai con te son certo.